chapter 29. Genesis 29. Genesis chapter 29, look down in verse 15. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel, and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Laban said, it's better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Father, thank you now for your goodness and your mercy. Help us to preach tonight. We ask for liberty, power, and wisdom. Lord, help us and enable us. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to bring you a little message tonight entitled, True Love. True. There's a movie. What is that? Princess Bride? And down at the end of the movie, when the bad guy's trying to marry the young maiden, and they get down to the church house, and the priest comes in with his big old hat on, and it's very solemn, very somber. And they get the bad guy's got the girl by the arm, they're standing there to get married, and the priest begins the ceremony, and he's tongue-tied. I mean, you have to have this real somber thing. And then when this guy opens his mouth, he said, Twolav. It's just hilarious. True love. That's what everybody wants, isn't it? True love. Everybody wants to find somebody they can love for the rest of their life and be happy and enjoy their living. When we get married, we always think that this is it. We're going to live happily ever after. 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years down the road, we'll still be sweethearts and we'll still be holding hands and we have that dream, and that's, as far as I know, that's what everybody wants. We always want a good life. We want to have somebody we can love, somebody to love us, and just live a good life and put in our time and lay down someday and go home and be with the Lord. Amen? Now, truth is, we go about it all wrong most of the time. If you talk to young people today, they don't have a clue in this world what marriage is or what their duties and their responsibilities are. And we look for all the wrong things in the people we date or court or whatever you want to call it anymore. Everything is based on our perception of how good-looking they are or how cool they are. When's the last time you talked to a young girl that was getting up of marrying age and her primary concern was, is this guy a good worker? How does he handle his money? Has he put anything in the bank? They don't think about stuff like that. They don't think about, is this guy going to work every day and make a living to support me? Or is this guy going to take all of his money and drink it up? Or is this guy going to run around with all of his buddies and waste every dime he gets and I'm going to sit at home alone and pregnant and forgotten? But they don't think about that. You know what they're thinking about? Oh, man, he's a hunk. He's the coolest guy in school. Oh, man, you see the cool clothes that dude wears? Man, that's my dream boat right there. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Just nutty as a fruitcake. You know what a guy's looking at when he's looking at a girl? How pretty is her face? Does she have a nice smile? Does she have a big chest? What does she look like when she's walking away? Oh, that's crude, preacher. Yeah, but that's real, son. That's what it is. See? You ever notice them skinny girls that got no chest and got no backside? I mean, it is like a telephone pole with clothes on. Ain't nobody looking at them. Amen. Every school's got two or three, you know. They cut off both legs to get a date, but there ain't nobody looking. Because them boys are looking at all the ones with the pretty smile and the big chest and the nice walk. I don't care if they got a brain in their head. They may not be able to boil water. They don't know the first thing about taking care of a youngin'. They never had to do anything around the house because mama's always done it for. They don't know anything about housekeeping, house cleaning, taking care of a husband. All they know is how to go out and eat hamburgers and drink Cokes and hang out with their friends and chill at the mall. But man, I'm going to marry her, man. She's pretty. Well, they don't say pretty anymore. She's hot. I'm tired of seeing people talking about the other one being hot. I don't know, there's something really carnal about that. And I'll tell you something else I don't like since I'm on the subject of not liking. I don't like that thing. Where'd you guys hook up at? Oh, we hooked up down at the mall. What? We used to meet. Now they hook up. There's something crude about that. I just don't like that. I just don't like that. Don't tell me you hooked up with somebody. I'll probably read more into that than I ought to. Amen. Because I'm just wicked as the devil himself. But I just don't like it. Anyway, when boys are looking for girls, that's what they're looking to see how pretty they are. They're not looking to see if they can cook. I think boy ought to say, we're not going out to dinner tonight. We're coming over to your house. I want you to fix dinner. That girl would be in a panic because she could not for the life of her remember the phone number for KFC. Man, if she had to cook dinner all by herself and fix it and put it on the table, you know, meat and a couple of vegetables and maybe some rolls or something and some iced tea, she'd be panic stricken. Amen. That fellow said, listen, we'll go out tonight and have hamburgers. When we come home, though, we'll spend our evening instead of out hanging and chilling with our friend. We'll come back to your house and I'll sit at the table while you make me a cake. That girl don't make no cake. Most of them young girls these days can't cook nothing. Amen. So if you marry them, you know what you're getting? You're going to have a whining, crying, complaining little heifer on your hands. They thought that when they got married and experienced marital bliss, that everything was going to be wonderful and lovely. Well, I'm here to tell you, marital bliss is about 0.1% of the rest of the relationship. Somebody say amen right there. I'm all for marital bliss, but son, you ain't living on Honeymoon Avenue for the rest of your life. You're going to have to get in the real world. That girl's going to want that boy to get a job and make a living. And listen, she's not going to be content to sit home every weekend because you ain't got the money to take her down to Mickey D's or that little French place, Hardee's, and get her something nice to eat. Amen. And then babies start coming along, and boy, all them bills will go to them babies. And here he is coming home every day, and the house is a mess, and there ain't no meals, and she don't know how to cook, and she don't know how to clean. And he's making $5 an hour because all he knows how to do is flip hamburgers because he was so stupid he never got an education, and he didn't get any training. Here's two people headed for a divorce court just as sure as there's a God up in glory. So why? Because they all looked for the wrong thing. I had a friend, Rex Harrison. He told his daughter, he said, now sweetheart, said, I don't care whether he's good looking or not. She said, if you get serious about this fellow, said, you call his boss and check his work record. They said, if you get a good report on his work record, then call his bank and see if he's got any money. She said, check him out to see if he's responsible and dependable. And if he passes all them tests, then you might consider marrying him. But you don't want to marry a man that ain't going to keep you up. I thought, that's good advice, Rex. I know ain't nobody going to take you, but that's good advice. Amen. And boys, look at them little old girls. They ought to quit looking at you. You ought to close your eyes when it comes to women. And check out their personality. You know, I've known some pretty women in my time, and some of them okay, but most of them real pretty ones, not all of them now, I understand. I'm trying to be fair here, but a lot of them, just too dumb to breathe. They got through life just looking good. And everybody let them slide, and everybody cut them slack because they were so pretty. And you couldn't carry on a conversation with them if your life depended on it. How'd you like to make a trip from here to California with a woman with an IQ of about 7? Amen. Now, boy, you talk about miserable. You be talking about playing that radio. You better find a woman that's got some brains in her head. Somebody you can talk to. Somebody you can relate with. Well, I don't care about that. She's just so pretty. You're going to care about it. You're going to care about it. Now, I'm giving you this story in a minute. This is just an introduction. Because here's a fella that chose his woman based on how she looked. Leah was the oldest, but she's just kind of plain vanilla. She's like Sarah, plain and tall. She wasn't no hottie. She didn't have nobody. She's just a girl. I'm sure she had all the standard operating equipment. I mean, she wasn't missing anything. She just wasn't packaged by commercial people who advertise. See, the idea of advertising is to make you want what's in the package. Amen. Well, she just wasn't packaged as nice as this other one. Rachel, a little younger, but she was the hottie. Boy, I mean, this girl was built. She was good looking. I mean, top to bottom, front to back, coming or going. Rachel was top drawer. She was numero uno. She turned every head in town. And poor old Jacob, man, he looked over there and he was thunderstruck. He fell in love instantly. Now, he hadn't talked to her. He don't know nothing about her. The only thing he knows, the only thing he can see, and the only thing he cares about is, oh, she's pretty. She was beautiful and well-favored. I take that to mean she was nice to look at in the face and her body wasn't bad either. Now, have I misdiagnosed anything? Is that not normally how it goes when boys and girls start dating? In the first place, we never consider that everybody we date could end up being a husband or a wife. The first rule every teenager ought to learn is that every date is a potential mate. They say, oh, I don't care anything about him. I'm just going to let him take me out and buy me a hamburger. Has to be the very one you end up falling for, sister. Amen. You never do that. That's Russian roulette. That's stupid. You never know. I'm here to tell you, love is fickle. You never know how that thing's going to work out. So Jacob is there at Laban's house. He looks around and he's cut a deal with daddy. Boy, he sees Leah, and she's just gorgeous. I can kind of see Jacob, you know, in the evenings after he's been out in the field all day with them sheep and them cattle. He comes back home at night, and he kicks his feet up there, and he clicks on the evening news on his 47-inch liquid aqueous crystal LCD HD TV. And he sits there a minute, and he kind of dozes off. All he can see, boy, he's got this big smile on his face. All he sees is Rachel. I mean, boy, she is just so pretty, and that mind of his is just working overtime. Now, Jacob made all his decisions so far based on externals. He don't know either one of these girls. He just looked at them and said, I like that one, I don't like that one. Now, I tell you what, I give this to Jacob. He's not afraid to make a commitment. Amen. You live in a generation where people say, well, I love her, but... Every time you hear that but, you know you're talking to a jerk. Amen. Well, I love her, but I'm just not ready to make a commitment. Oh, no. Oh, no. You'll play man and wife. You want to be adult and do adult things, but you don't want to make a commitment. What you are is you're a jerk, is what you are. You're just a scumbag. Amen. There ain't nothing to you. You use somebody, but you won't make a commitment. Well, best guy, Jacob, with all of his shortcomings, and he had more than his fair share, at least he was willing to make a commitment. But our story illustrates that the first stirrings of what ultimately becomes love generally starts with looks. That's a poor start. But it's true. That's just the way it works. Now, thanks be unto God, what looks good to me may not look good to you. But what looks good to you may not look good to me, see? If we all like the same thing, we'd be in a lot of trouble because there ain't but two or three that I like. See? And all the rest of them will be culled. So it's a good thing that somebody likes the different ones. That beauty is definitely in the eye of the beholder. You ever hear somebody say, you know, so-and-so is going blah, 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 or so-and-so married old Miss blah, blah. He said, I just don't know, see what they see in her. I don't know what she saw in him. No, you don't. But they saw something you didn't see. Now, maybe they saw something that was there. Maybe they saw something that wasn't there. But real or not real, they saw something you didn't see. And they liked what they saw. And even though romance may generally start with looks, if we're wise, we don't let it stay there. That's not the only criteria. You don't say, I'm going to marry her because she's so pretty. You say, I'm going to marry her because of this and this and this, and it's a blessing that she's also pretty. Now, Jacob looks at this girl and he falls in love. He makes a commitment. So I'm going to work 7 years. Now, he got hoodooed, you know. On the wedding night, he was happy as a bug in a rug. That's what I was thinking about. The truth is, on his wedding night, he didn't know any difference. But in the morning when he saw her, he was disappointed. I wonder how it made that girl. I often wonder how she felt about that. All them sweet nothings he must have whispered the night before, only to see him repulsed in the morning. Amen? But when he wakes up in the morning, it's not Rachel, it's Leah. And he feels betrayed, and he's angry, and he's going to go out and see their daddy about it. His daddy said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll cut you a deal. You give me another 7 years, I'll give you the little one. You can have both of them. Now, Jacob is so enamored with the looks of Rachel that he works another 7 years. This boy's got 14 years invested in these two girls. Now, you see, back in them days, women weren't as easy to come by as they are today. Back in Jacob's day, boys and girls didn't spend Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday together. Courting was restricted. And they wasn't getting in daddy's Pontiac or Chevrolet or Ford or whatever it was, and going off for 3 or 4 hours by themselves and hanging with their friends till midnight and 1 o'clock in the morning. Back in them days, mamas and daddies had a little sense, and they knew that when boys and girls get together and they get alone, bad things happen. Even for good kids. We're of them that have no confidence in the flesh. And so if you wanted to date a fella's daughter, one, you had to impress daddy with who you were, and then you had to come see him or her at home. All the dating was done at the house. Now, you know something? If you ain't up to no good, there ain't nothing wrong with that. There ain't a thing wrong with that. Only reason you need to get someplace where it's dark or where people can't see you is because you want to do something you know you ain't supposed to do. Amen. I tell you, you know why boys want to get girls around the corner? Or out at the river? Or down where the light's dim, because they've got bad hearts. They've got bad motives. Yeah. Fellow wants you to do that, you need to dump that jerk right then, right there, and that's the last time you ever see that scumbag. Amen, amen, and amen. No second chance, preacher? No, sir. Why give him a second chance to do something wrong? One chance to do bad is once is enough. Now, Jacob ends up marrying both these girls, the Beauty and the Beast. Rachel and Leah. Leah's weak-eyed, but Rachel is beautiful and well-favored. Now, I want you to notice something. Rachel is loved, but she's a... with a capital B. I mean, this girl is bad news. We're going to look at her personality here for a second and see what this guy got when he got the pretty one. And Leah is not loved, but wants to be. Rachel is loved and doesn't care. The pretty one expects everybody to love her, and she doesn't love back. The homely one would give her eye teeth to have somebody love her, and can't find anybody. So let me show you something. In chapter 30, in verse 1, you don't need to turn there. Here's a picture of Rachel. In chapter 30 and verse 1, she's envious because Leah has children and she doesn't. In chapter 30 and verse 15, she is covetous. Leah has mandrakes and Rachel wants them. In chapter 31 and verse 34, Rachel steals her father's idols. She's a thief. In chapter 31 and verse 35, she lies about stealing the idols. She's not only a thief, she's a liar. In chapter 30, verse 27, her husband is angry with her. Now, she was pretty, but she didn't have any character. She was pretty, but she didn't have any integrity. She was pretty, but she was jealous. She was bitter. She was envious. She had the looks, but that wasn't enough for her. She wanted what everybody else had too. Truth is, Rachel's just not a very nice person. But she's pretty. But she's real pretty. I'm going to tell you something. You get tired of pretty after a while. If pretty is always whining, if pretty is always crying, if pretty is always complaining, if pretty is always stirring up trouble, if pretty is never satisfied, you see what I'm saying? Pretty wears thin after a while. If that's all you got, with a pretty face, make a snapshot and send her on her way. Now, on the other hand, there was Leah. Leah is absolutely single-minded in what she wants. In chapter 29, verse 32, she said, "Now will my husband love me." In chapter 29 and verse 34, she said, "Now my husband will be joined unto me." In chapter 30 and verse 20, she said, "Now will my husband dwell with me." You know, the only thing Leah wanted the whole time, she wanted Jacob. She didn't want his money. She didn't want his cattle. She wanted him. Now here are two women married to the same man. One is totally dissatisfied and a troublemaker. and is no consolation to her husband, but her husband loves her because she's attractive. The other one has got a good heart and a good soul and a good spirit. She is ambitious and she works hard, and her whole goal in life is to promote her husband. And he doesn't give her the time of day. Why? Because she didn't look nice. Isn't that a cheap, shoddy thing? I wonder how many marriages have hit the rocks or had trouble, not because the wife was not a good wife, not because she wasn't a good housekeeper or whatever, simply because she didn't look good. Well, you should have thought about that before you married her. Or you marry her, maybe she puts on some weight and she gets heavy. Now, you should have looked at that before you married her. You know, most of the time you can tell who's going to stay skinny and who ain't. Ask my wife. When we were dating, her mama was a big woman. Big woman. And I knew, I could look at my wife's bone structure and I knew she was going to be a big woman. And I told her then I didn't care if she was as big as her mama. And she got to where she's as big as her mama, and I still didn't care. Because I didn't marry her because of how pretty she was, even though I thought she's pretty. I still think she's pretty. She was fun to be with. She was witty. She was charming. She knew how to laugh. She could carry on a conversation. She was well-read. She's everything I was looking for. And pretty on top of it. But I would have loved her if she weren't. I loved her when she was thin, and I loved her when she's heavy, and now she's between the two, and I still love her. Amen? I had a lady tell me one time, I was talking to her, she said, "Well, I just can't love somebody that's overweight." I thought, lady, you expect somebody to love you, and you're ugly. And she was, too, by the way. She's as ugly as a mud fence. Boy, she had a high opinion of herself, though. I just couldn't marry somebody that's overweight. I just couldn't love them. Does a few wrinkles on the face or a few pounds on the frame override a pleasing personality, a quick mind, common interest, common goals? I don't think so. I think we need to look for the things that are real and the things that are important. Amen? I was talking to... y'all can't tell nobody this. I was talking to my grandson a while back. He's got a little old girlfriend, and she's kind of chunky. And he was telling me about her, but he was being kind of sheepish. And I kind of figured out what it was. I said, "Boy," I said, "that girl chunky?" "Yes, sir, a little bit." I said, "Well, that's okay. Chunky girls need loving too." I said, "Let me ask you something. Is she funny?" "Oh, yeah." And he got started talking about her, about how much fun she was and how quick she was and how she was smarter than them other girls that thought they were so hot. I said, "You go with the chunky one, buddy. You go with one you can talk to, one you can communicate with, the one you can laugh with, the one that's got good things in common." I said, "Don't you worry about her being a little chunky." I said, don't you let nobody make you feel bad about that. There ain't nothing wrong with it. Chunky girls need loving too. Not to mention the fact he's going to be a little chunky himself. where was I at? We're talking about the personality of these two women. They're totally different. And I think, I bet there was times when old Jacob wished he hadn't married Rachel. Amen. I mean, she kept things stirred up. She's a hothead. She's a troublemaker. Now, he lives with these two women for years and years and years. And I don't know all the ins and outs of that, but I bet that was an interesting life. And I bet you anything, as time passed, Rachel lost some of that beauty she had. Have you ever noticed how a woman's body seems to change after she's had a child or two? Now, men, for some reason, got the brains of a monkey sometimes. They think a woman can bear them two or three children, and they still ought to have that 18-year-old virgin body. ain't going to happen, Captain. And having them young'uns just tear them bodies all to pieces. Amen. Not to mention, you kind of go in the pot yourself, you know. Put on a few pounds, got a little pot belly. When we got married, I didn't look like this. We have the weirdest expectations. We hang on to the dumbest stuff sometimes. We cheat ourselves out of happiness and contentment because we have unrealistic expectations. We think our mate ought to stay like they were when we married them, even though we're changing. It's not fair. It's not reasonable. And it won't happen. So he's married to these two women with these two personalities and these two looks. You ever wonder how that worked out? After maybe 25, 30 years? Now, he didn't care a hoot about Leah to start with. All he could think about was Rachel. She had his heart and his soul and his mind and everything. But I'm going to show you something. I want you to take your Bible and look at these verses with me. In Genesis chapter 35 and verse 18. Genesis 35. You got this now? You ready? Genesis 35:18. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, before she died, that she called his name Beni, but his father called his name Benjamin. And Rachel died. And now watch where she's buried. And was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. Okay? So now, the love of his life dies. And he's going from one place to another, and he buries her beside the road. Got it? Now watch this. Take your Bible and look in Genesis 49. Genesis 49. Now look in verse 29. Abram is given instructions about his burial. He said, and he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people, bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephraim the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Cana, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephraim the Hittite for possession of a burying place. Now he said, this is where I'm going to die, and here's where I want you to bury me. Look at verse 31. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there buried I Leah. In the end, who was favored? That started out with Rachel. But in the end, Rachel dies and he says, bury her over here. In an out-of-the-way, unknown place, alongside the road somewhere. He said, but I want you to bury me with my forefathers. I want to be buried with Abraham and Isaac. He said, and that's where I'm going to bury Leah. I think Leah had won a spot in Abraham's heart. I don't know what it is to them Orientals, but where you get buried is a big deal. Now you take your Bible and look that up sometime. It's a big deal where you get planted, who you get planted with. And for him to have his wife buried with him. Now look, it was Abraham and who? Sarah, and Isaac, and who? Rebekah. And it was Isaac, or Jacob, and Leah, not Rachel. That old boy had learned to love that girl. She won his heart. Now you see, Love may start one way. It may be inspired or initially motivated because of looks. But I'm here to tell you, that's emotional love. As time goes on and we live together, we learn to love for a whole different reason. Now, when I married my wife, I thought she was the prettiest blue-eyed little thing Fort Mill ever had. And she looked good coming and going, just like all them kids today. She was a baby doll. But those looks don't last. That guy you think's a hunk and he's the coolest, I'll tell you what, when he gets about 35 or 40 and starts to get that little paunch, and his backside starts to get heavy, and his chest falls down, and his hair falls out, he won't be the coolest looking dude around anymore. But it don't mean he's not a good man. And maybe she has two or three young'uns, and she's got a little pop gut, and she puts on a few pounds, the middle age spread. And she got wrinkles in her eyes, and her hair turns gray. But you know, have you ever noticed that personality stays with us when looks fade away? All the things that are really important, our ability to communicate, our personality, our ability to laugh, our ability to have compassion and understanding, those things are only enriched with time. The only thing that we lose with time is that look that got the whole thing started. We're all going to wrinkle. We're all going to put on weight. We're all going to get old. We're all going to fall apart. And if that's all you've got, you're going to be of all men most miserable. But if you love him, if you love her, because of their intellect, because of their grace and their charm, because of their character, because of their integrity, because of their honesty, because of their quick wit, you can be happy to your dying day. My wife and I like to hold hands. I'm a touchy-feely kind of guy. Embarrasses my wife. I'm just trying to get what I paid for is what it is. We were going someplace the other day, and there was this old couple. Now, when I say old anymore, it's a lot older than it used to be when I said old. Somebody say amen. But they're tottering along down through there, and they were holding hands. She's a little short, chunky thing, and he was a skinny thing, and he obviously had the osteoporosis. He was bent over pretty bad, and they were surely in their 80s at least. But they were walking along, holding hands, just moving at a snail's pace, but they were chit-chatting. And a couple of different times, I saw each one of them laugh. They're still conversing with each other. They still had something to talk about. They still found each other humorous. I said, Lord, this is the way it ought to end after 50, 60 years. They ought to still be friends. They ought to still be in love. Now, he wasn't in love with that little old woman because she was a beauty queen anymore. Age had taken its toll. He wasn't tall, dark, and handsome anymore. He was bent, bowed, and bald. But didn't seem to bother her any. He'd say something and she'd just giggle. I just thought it was the sweetest thing. I wish I'd had the guts to stop them and ask them how long they'd been married. But if I had to guess, I bet they'd been married 50 years or longer. And they were still friends. They were still enjoying each other's company. Now that's the way God meant it. Till death do us part. It's possible to marry and love, but you've got to move past the superficial and find those things, those qualities in each other that are real, that really endear us to each other. Can I talk to her? Can I trust her? Do we have common ground? If you've got those things, you've got a blessing. I wouldn't spend 5 minutes worrying about whether they were tall or skinny, short or fat, what the world thinks about them. If they meet my need, if they make me happy, that's what counts. And that's what's going to last. You could divorce the one you got today and marry you a hunk or a beauty queen or whatever. And here you are 50, 55, and go marry you 120, which you can't keep up with. Amen. And in just a few years, you'll see her start to age. You'll see him start to bawl. Those externals always diminish. They always fall apart. I'm here to tell you, my wife weighs a lot more today than she did the day I married her. But she laughs the same. She doesn't look in a lot of ways like the girl I married 45 years ago. But she knows me like a book. And she cares about me. You say something bad about me. You mistreat me. And find out if you ain't got a little tiger by the tail right here. Say why? She's like Leah. She's single-minded. You see what I'm saying? That's the way marriage is supposed to be. It ought to get stronger and sweeter and more committed and more attached as time goes by. And the things that are external, the things that are going to fall away, the things that are going to decay, we ought to let them go. I want to slip into my 70s and 80s and hopefully 90s. Married to the same woman. I was talking to my wife the other day and I thought, you know, I'm 63, she's 63. In the next 8 or 10 years, we're going to see some radical changes in our bodies. We're at the point to start falling apart. We got married when we were 17, young, strong, virile, good looking. She was a baby doll and I was a hunk. We've been through a lot of changes. And we're fixing to see a lot more. And the ones we're going to see now, boy, ultimately going to lead to the graveyard one of these days. I was thinking the other day, God's been good. I'm still up and active and can work a full-time job and carry on. But in the next few years, my strength's going to fail. My body is going to come apart. I'm at that point in life. And hers is too. But that giggle that I married at 17, she still got that. That quick temper and that quick wit that went with it, she still got that. That personality that I've always liked, it's as intact today as it was when she was 17. I expect that to be with her as long as she has her mind about her. The body may change, the externals may go, but that person, the personality that I fell in love with, it's just gotten better with the time. It's gotten better with the years. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth, for this is thy portion under the sun. That's what God said. Marriage can last a lifetime, and it can be good for a lifetime. You just got to be looking for the right things in marriage. You got to cultivate the right qualities in marriage. And I'm afraid our generation not much doing that. They're all connected about the superficial. How tough is he? Is he a hunk? Is she a hottie? Don't fall for all that, you young people. Be smarter than that. Look for the person. Look for that personality, that character, that charm, that ability to communicate, those commonalities that you have. Is she the beauty queen? You know, they wrote a country song a few years ago that said, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, make an ugly woman your wife. I don't know that that's necessary, but I understand the sentiment. The idea is, it's not the looks. You see, the best woman in our story wasn't the pretty one. The best woman in our story was the one who had a heart for her husband. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy.